Let's talk about Christian. Now, the best that my fiance left me says, have the best day ever, every day. Miranda, with a heart. Miranda loves me more than Stacy loves you, Keith, because she didn't leave a note on your whiteboard. Your whiteboard is blank. There's nothing there.
My whiteboard is indeed blank.
It's blank.
Hang on just a second. I got to switch networks one more time.
Oh, my goodness. He's done this like 7 times.
Oh, it's been terrible. This is actually our second attempt at recording, because we tried yesterday and the internet just laid down and quit on me. And
it was not good.
No, it was worse than not good.
Right.
It was bad.
It was awful.
And then I got into the office this morning and it wasn't going to work again. And so I'm actually at my house.
In my
basement. I wouldn't call this an office, but this is, just a place in my basement where we can record. And that's all that you can say about it.
It's got a map. It's got a whiteboard.
I have a map. Yes. It's a very nice map. My wife got me the map. But there you go. So let's see. Okay. So yesterday we started out talking when the recording failed and everything. What were we talking? Oh, we were talking about the video.
Yeah. Video. So we're now a video podcast. Is that what we can classify ourselves as now?
Here's the story on the video. Aaron came on a couple of weeks ago, and doing this on Skype, it is recording audio and video for us. And then usually we just strip the audio off and use the audio. But we decided, or Aaron asked, hey, could I take the video and upload it? And so we said, yeah, sure, we don't care. And then last week, for whatever reason, I decided to take the video and upload it to my Vimeo account. And
we started to be technologically relevant. We're actually doing things with technology now that we've known how to do forever, but we just never put the thought into doing it. We were kind of worried about YouTube and Vimeo. We didn't know how all that worked. But
yeah, and that's what it was down to. We didn't know how it worked. And so, we decided we didn't know how to upload a video. Well, and part of it was the space. We didn't have the dedicated space.
We don't have a budget.
Yes.
We don't have a budget. We're not
Vimeo.com/Keith Albrecht. And so anyway, we uploaded it to there a week ago and 33 views.
Now that may not sound like a lot to you. You may be thinking, wow, these guys are desperate if they think 33 views is good. But listen, we uploaded this video thinking we would get 0 views. 0. And we got 33. That's
33 views.
Is that not one more from yesterday? We had 32?
Yeah, there were 32 yesterday. Somebody actually got on there and
What person viewed it since yesterday, since we tried to record the first time? That's huge news.
I don't know.
That's huge news.
Okay, this is going to blow you away with no budget. Right. With our budget, I got an email this morning from the host of our website, the company that actually does the hosting of the website. And it said, check here to find out what your website is actually worth. So if we wanted to sell our domain name,
right,
we could sell that domain name. Are you ready for this? $301.
Hey, that's our net worth. The program Let's Talk About Christianity is worth $301. That's our net worth.
So, You know, to me, that was, you know, I was expecting $25, you know, because I think that's, you know, probably what we paid for it, you know, but $301. So, you know, hey, it's, you know, we may not have a budget, but we do have net worth now. So that's,
we do have net worth. We're worth $300.
Yeah. So,
that's pretty good.
You know, I was excited, you know, that's like, man, I wanted to go get a milkshake or something, you know, and then we would have only been worth $295, but you know,
but still, anyway, it don't matter.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter at all.
What's going on in Texas this week?
Just a lot of, normal stuff. Nothing really unusual going on this week. I was in the office a few minutes ago. We tried to record and it wasn't going to work. And I said, hey, let me jump in the truck and run to my house and try it there. And I said, 10 minutes. I said, give me 10 minutes to get to my house.
He said 10 minutes. Turns out it takes 30 minutes to get from the church to his house. That's a 10-minute drive. So I don't know where I've been in the middle of that drive.
Had to fight my way out the door. It was like my mistake was I went into the outer office and there was nobody there. And I'm like, where's everybody at? And so my mistake was I went looking for them. And then
never go looking for people. Let people find you.
When I found them, then I had to fight my way out the door. But, you know, it's all good. I'm here now. It's working. We're excited about it. We have that actually the weather outside is just like nasty today. They're talking like it's going to get nastier before it gets better. But when I got to the office this morning about 8:30, it was just cloudy, and I came out to come to the house and it was so foggy you couldn't hardly see across the road. But I was going to use the fog as my excuse as to why it took so long to get back to the house.
Oh my goodness. No, no excuses. No excuses at all. Well, we don't really have anything interesting going on here either. We've got stuff coming up. You got marriage retreat coming up. You've got CYC coming up. Marriage retreat, does that congregation in Saxton do the marriage retreat, the Shady Acres?
No, as a group, we do not go to the marriage retreat over in Pigeon Forge.
Now, in Paintsville, we've always done it as a group. They always have done it. That's one of the hallmarks. Trips of the year for the adult married folks.
There is a, I thought every trip was a Hallmark trip for the adults. There is a marriage retreat over in Branson that takes place in the fall. And we have a lot of couples that go over there to that. And there has been talk of trying to start one here in the, in this area. Missouri is an interesting state in the fact that it borders seven other states. It's like crazy the number of states that touch Missouri. But, you know, where we are, I can be in I can be in Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, or Arkansas within an hour, in any of those four states. So this may be challenging to do this.
Kitty?
Yeah.
Kitty?
Lemon wanted to
What's
say
his name?
Lemon.
Hello, Lemon. Anyway.
Lemon likes to come and curl up in my lap when I'm down here. So
Keith is the cat guy at the end of the street. He's the one with all the cats.
Yeah.
He's the one that everybody blames because they got little kittens running around their house. Because of the hen.
That would not be our cats, but our cats are they're out of that gene pool now. So
he looks like a cat guy too.
You know, interesting story. Well, actually, not that interesting, but we can pretend, right? Interesting story. This cat actually came from one of Justin and Amanda's neighbors. For some reason, Stacy decided she wanted a cat, and Amanda's like, "Oh, my neighbor up the road's got kittens," and so
yeah.
We went up
so
there.
She's a Paintsville native. Lemon is a Paintsville native.
Lomansville.
Okay, outside of Paintsville, it's a yeah. Lomansville native.
Yep. So yeah, Lemon and one of the others came from Lomansville, but the other one you will never see on camera. You never see that cat anywhere. The only time you see that cat's when it's time to eat. So let me throw this out, and I've got to be very careful how I state this. We have an acquaintance over here who does some mission work in a country where mission work is expressly forbidden.
Okay.
Did I state
dangerous.
That vague enough
dangerous.
That yeah. it was probably
dangerous.
Safe? Because I have to protect the identity of this person. But absolutely fascinating story about mission work that can go on in places where it's not supposed to go on. And I have lost you. Oh, wait, your mouth is moving.
Huh? Can you hear me?
Hear you now. Yeah. The internet over here has just been terrible this week.
I just sit really still. I think that you just mistake me that I'm not moving, that I'm frozen. But I'm just sitting really still, not talking.
So anyway, what I was going to say is, you know, you can, on your own, you can do some investigation of mission works that, like I said, go on in places where mission work really isn't supposed to legally go on.
Dangerous.
It is
very dangerous to do.
Very dangerous for the individuals, which is why I am, you know, being very, very careful about how I state that. But, you know, it's, you know, there's some cool stuff going on that you might not hear all that much about because of the dangers associated with it. But, you know, I just wanted to give a shout out to that person without them even knowing that they were getting a shout out.
You just gave a person a shout out without ever mentioning their name. So we now have no idea who it is. We don't, are they?
Oh, I didn't just,
are they
I was going to say, I can't say.
So you can't say that they're a listener. You can't say if they are a listener. You can't say their name.
I didn't reveal location. I didn't even reveal gender.
Okay. So we're giving a shout out to the person with no name who does secret mission work in a very dangerous country. And we just want to say that we're very proud of you. We don't know if you're a he or a she, but we're very proud of you. Keep doing the good work.
And you're in our prayers. Yeah.
And you're in our prayers.
Yeah. I heard from Norma.
Norma Chacon.
Yes.
I did too. I got
Norma.
A video from her.
And so I was glad to get to hear from Norma. And so we can give a shout out to those in Suptanhaya, Ica, Peru.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Great people.
And as long as we're giving random shout, one of my daughters is watching this series of shows called A Series of Unfortunate Events. Have you ever watched that, Zach?
Great book and great TV show.
Okay, so I think we were watching like episode number 3 last night, and
season 1.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I think season 1. And anyway, Dr. Montgomery was getting ready to take the kids to Peru.
Yeah, because he collects exotic animals.
Yes. And so he's talking about them getting off the boat. And he says, you know, we're going to disembark in Chimbote. And I'm like, I was just there a month
Chimbote.
Ago. Chimbote? I was in Chimbote a month ago. Yeah, that was Yeah, Emma like snapped her head around and she's like, "Dad, you were just there." And I'm like, "Yes, I was. Yes, I was."
Cool story about Peru. Well, I got a video from Norma. It was a really, really awesome video. It was some of the work that's going on down there. But anyway, when I got to go to Peru in December, the first I got to go to a school. And it's a school where Norma actually works.
Yes.
And my teacher, we did an exit slip the first day of the year. And we had to write some stuff down about what we did on winter break and anything interesting that happened. So I said, you know, I got to visit a school in Ica, Suchitoto, Peru, and I got to sit there, and I got to watch, and I got to, you know, tour the school and stuff like that. And she found it absolutely fascinating because I had pictures, too. I had pictures of the computer room that they had. I had pictures of the different classrooms that they had there. But she thought it was awesome. And so it made a great, great teaching point in our classroom about how we can relate to past experiences in order to teach our students when we do become teachers. So that was a cool way to use my trip in Peru, not only just in, you know, not only in the ministry, but also in a classroom, you know, for my college education. So that was awesome.
Oh, it's always fun to go into the schools down there, but okay. So there was something else we talked about yesterday that I don't remember now. We were
got your sermon intro coming out on tomorrow or today.
Yes.
So if you're in the Shady Acres region, be looking for that on Facebook because it'll already be posted because you'll be listening to this tomorrow. So be looking for that one on Facebook because it will post tomorrow.
Yes. And
it will post tomorrow too. I'm doing it on children.
I'm actually probably recording more this afternoon. But
there you go.
That's the plan that I have anyway. So
the topic on the Gospel Minute is going to be children. We're going to talk about children. I'm going to take you into the preschool here at Cornerstone.
Wow. So that's good. Well, say hey to Miss Mary and Ashley and Miss Phyllis.
I think they're over here right now. I don't hear any kids, but I heard some doors close.
Well, it's Thursday and it's 11:15.
It is Thursday. Kind
of soon. And also, you know, we keep giving shout outs to Cindy Messer. You know, she's in the transition phase and, you know, moving.
She's trying to sell her house.
Yeah. So if you need a house out in the Flat Gap area, you know.
But the house isn't even the main attraction. It's the land, over 20 acres in land that's out there. I mean,
you know, if you have ever dreamed of living in Flat Gap, let us know. We'll get you in contact with the person that really needs to be able to sell her property so that she can be with her family in Texas. So
beautiful country out there. Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. But. Okay, so the topic that we are actually talking about this week.
Write it on your whiteboard, Keith. Write the question on your whiteboard. Yes.
I could write the question on my whiteboard. You're making fun of my space here. So the topic that we were talking about. Zacky Poo.
I heart you, Zacky Poo. Now, that one's from Gunnar Collins.
Okay. That wasn't from Miranda.
Yeah, he doesn't think that I saw him write that, but I did.
Okay. So, Gunnar, Gunny Poo? I don't know. Anyway.
Gummy Poo. That's perfect. Gummy Poo.
Gummy Poo.
Gummy Poo.
So anyway, we were talking yesterday, or we were trying to anyway, about this topic. And like I said yesterday, anyway, you didn't hear me say this earlier. This is a challenging topic. And I don't think that there is a right or wrong answer to this topic. And to be honest, I don't really have a scripture to go with this topic. And to be even more honest, I really don't even have a plan here as we are entering this episode.
Let's play it out on the table. We have no idea where we're going with this. We're just going to find our way as we go.
Yeah.
But those usually make good topics.
So here's the problem. What happens when you do your best and your best is not good enough? Because
now you have. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we've all had those situations.
Right. You have good, you have better, and then you have best. Those are the three categories, right, of succeeding.
Yes.
Doing what you need to do.
And you know, maybe doing our best isn't the best way of putting it, because there are times when we do good. We do good, and it's not good enough. And sometimes we do better, and it's not good enough. And then there are those times, of course, when we give our absolute best.
Let me give you an example.
Oh, give us.
I had a class. It was one of my first education classes, and the woman who taught it. No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
One of the person who taught it, she was a woman. Her name was Dr. Sarah Lindsay. She was from New Zealand. Anyway, she taught this class, and at the first of the class, she gave us our grading of how we would be graded. A C is what we had to have to pass the class. In any college course, you have to have a C to pass. If it's geared towards your degree, you have to have passed it with a C. So a C was meeting the requirements and the standards of the class and passing all exams and tests. A B was going the extra mile plus meeting the requirements and standards of the class.
Right.
And an A was going above and beyond the call of duty, meeting the standards and requirements of class plus putting extra effort outside of class and in class. And she just told us straight up, she said, very few people get an A in this class.
Wow.
She said last semester, I think I had two people that had an A in this class.
Wow.
It was a tough class. It was a tough class. I finished with a 79.9, but she would not round it up to an 80. So she was tough.
You got a C?
I got a C. That is the only C that I've had in college this far. It's the only C on my transcript.
But you met the requirements.
I did. I met the requirements, but I guess I didn't go the extra mile. And I definitely didn't go above and beyond and the extra mile. So,
well, if you had a 79.9, then that means that you went 9/10 of a mile.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I didn't go the full mile. I just stopped at 9/10 of the mile. But she would not round it up. But that's what I thought about when I thought of good, better, and best. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to give your absolute best. It's easy to give good. It's a little harder to give better. But when you're giving your best, that takes a whole lot of effort.
Well, and I had a very profound statement before we began recording yesterday. Do you remember that statement?
I do. You were full of it, but I don't remember the statement. But you came out fine.
I wrote it down. The past few days, I've actually been carrying a notebook around because I've just had so many things that I don't usually write things down very often. But here the last few days, I've been taking notes of different stuff. And so I wrote this down. But what my profound statement was this, is that perfection is sometimes anyway, perfection is easier to obtain than maintaining perfection. You know,
profound right there. That's profound.
Perfection. I mean, it's like, you know, have you ever made the perfect pie? I love pie. You know, very few pies that you know, I don't bake pies.
Don't bake. Yeah,
I don't bake pies, but you know, you have that perfect pie. Okay, so you talk about things that you cook. You know, what's your favorite thing to cook? Do you like to cook pasta?
I do. I like to cook spaghetti, anything Italian, really. That's my go-to right there. I love it.
And so the point that I was, you know, trying to make with my profound statement was that you may make that perfect dish, but how hard is it to reproduce that perfect dish and to serve that perfect dish time and time and time and time again? And I think sometimes as Christians, we get frustrated because we may have that moment when we have done everything right. And we may have even gone the extra mile. We may have even gone above and beyond in addition to the extra mile. I guess that would be going the extra mile uphill. I don't know.
I guess so. I don't know what she meant by that statement, but it was, I'm assuming it was going the extra mile uphill.
You know, we were assuming that you didn't know what she meant by that statement, you know, based on the fact that you got a seat. But, you know, you may do everything right in one instance, but the next time we may do the exact same thing and it may not be sufficient for whatever situation that is. Right. And, you know, as Christians, I don't know, and this is sadly, and I admit sadly, something that has really only occurred to me more recently, you know, like within the past 10 years, but there are so many people who are hurting with one thing or another. And, you know, I was in a conversation the other day with somebody that was, you know, they were talking about things that were going on at the congregation where they are. And they were, you know, I'm sorry, I got an email that I had to read and I got sidetracked. They were talking about the church where they were hurting, the whole church. And, you know, they had gone through some very difficult times at that congregation. And I made another profound statement. It's been one of those weeks, but I made the statement that every church is hurting, just maybe not to the same degree that one was.
Or in different ways.
Yes. And because anytime that sin is present, there is going to be pain of some kind. And anytime that there is, you know, we have been over here, we've been dealing a lot lately with a number of instances where just, you know, really, really painful stories. And, you know, there's a young man associated with this congregation, 5 years old, that passed away week before last because of cancer. And then there is another one that is associated with this congregation, about the same age, had to have one of his eyes removed because of cancer, you know, like within the past week. And,
wow,
you know, we sometimes forget that all of these people are dealing with sorrows, and they may not be the same sorrows, and those sorrows may not be the same for every individual.
But in the climate that we find ourselves in right now, I mean, you could even go the extra step that right now you're seeing more splits in churches than we've seen in years. And, you know, that can be contributed to a lot of factors. You know, some it's doctrinal issues and some it's personal issues, but you're seeing a whole lot of splits in churches, especially here. I don't know about out there, but in this area, this region, we're seeing a whole lot of splits in churches. And, you know, you're right. No matter where sin is present, there is going to be hurting. Every congregation hurts. Every congregation hurts in a different way. For some, it may be a personal issue. For some, it may be a doctrinal issue. But they all hurt in different ways. But what you have to do collectively is you have to push towards the goal that unites us as Christians. And you have to push through all of these problems to stay united as Christians.
And, you know, with the topic that we're talking about, which I never did get written on the whiteboard. I've still got my Vimeo address up there.
Write it.
You know, okay, so you let's say that you want to be an encourager. Right. Let's say that you want to be a help to someone else, and you see someone within the church where you are who is in pain from something. Do what?
Here comes the kids. I'm sure you.
Okay.
Anyway,
no, I can't hear them. Those kids. I'm sitting here going, my kids. Where am I? No. So you know, let's say that you send them a card.
Okay.
You know, just hypothetically, you say, I'm going to send that person a card. Just let them know I'm thinking about them. Let them know I'm praying for them. And then that person comes to you and says something to the effect of you know, you have no idea what that card meant to me and, you know, how much that card encouraged me. And so you're sitting there feeling, yes, I did something good. I did something right. I did something that helped someone else. And so you see someone else who is in pain. No two pains are going to be the same. No two pains are going to be the same depth or the same intensity or maybe even from the same cause. But you see that person in pain and you say, I'm going to write them a card. And so you write them a card and you send it to them. And then you don't hear anything from them. And then a month or 2 months later, you know, you find out that they didn't need a card. They needed a physical shoulder. They needed someone to listen to them. And, you know, and you're sitting there going, I did the same thing. It was good in this situation. And in this situation over here, it failed. And it failed miserably. And, you know, that is a discouragement to us. Now, whether that, you know, falls into the category of I did my best and my best wasn't good enough. You know, that goes back to your and I didn't know you were going to throw that example out of that instructor. And I certainly didn't know that you were going to admit that you only got a C in that class. But. That was a
nothing but honesty,
beautiful illustration. And, you know, I love the way that your instructor laid those things out.
And that applies to our Christianity. We could easily make this show, do the rubric for this show in that way. You know, what is good in our Christianity? What's better in our Christianity? What's the best that we can possibly give as Christians? And then you could go by those guidelines. Good, you know, it's meeting the requirements, meeting the standards. Better is going the extra mile, doing a little bit more. But what is the best that you could possibly give as a Christian? And that will take the utmost effort.
And you just said it right there. I don't know if you realize that you said it, but let's go back to the example of your class. Who set the bar?
The teacher.
The teacher set the bar. I have been in classes where, and I'm sure that you have too, where the students set the bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where you go into that class and you love those classes because the instructor starts out by saying, okay, I'm going to curve this, you know, this test.
Right.
And, you know, if the highest score is a 92, then I'm going to give everyone 8 points. And
right.
Mentally,
and you're hoping you've got a bunch of smart people in this class because you know you're going to get great grades if you do.
No. If you got a bunch of smart people in the class, you know that there's not going to be much of a curve.
Well, I mean, if you've got that one or two people in that class that are going to get 100 in your test and the rest of you guys are getting C's, you know that it's going to curve. You know it's going to curve upward. It's going to give you points on your score.
Ah, but if someone else makes 100, you don't get any points.
This is true. Anyway, continue.
So anyway.
I'm not good at math.
Maybe I need to put this on the whiteboard. You know,
draw it up for me.
Zach, I mean, I've got my marker right here ready.
Draw it up for me, Keith.
Let's go with that example, though. The highest score you can get is 100.
Right.
If you are counting on the smartest person in the class getting a 92, you're sitting there thinking, I've got 8 points to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to get a C, what I'm using you as an example, you know, if I want to get a C, all I've got to make on that test is a 62.
This is true.
And you know, not a 61.9 evidently, but a 62.
Yeah.
So
61.9.
So anyway, there are times when somebody else sets the bar for us. There are times when we set the bar. You, when it comes to your Christian life, you are the only one who is going to be able to say, this is good, this is better, this is best.
See, I thought you were going to go a different way with that. I thought you would go with, as Jesus, as our teacher, he sets the bar for our faith. He sets the bar for our Christianity, and we have to meet those expectations that he lays out for us as his followers. That's where I thought you were going to go with that. And if you think about it, that...
And we can go with that.
And we can go with that. And if you think about it, is there a good, better, and best in that bar, in that standard that he set for us as his followers? I think there is. I mean, I think that we can go through our lives and we can just strive to meet the basic requirements. We've got a cat jumping on Keith's chair, just crawling around, sniffing his whiteboard. She's sniffing the marker is what it is. She's sniffing the marker.
This cat is such a social creature.
She wants to be on the program, Keith.
He needs his own Instagram account, but
she wants to be on the program, and you wouldn't invite it, so she's going to get on there anyway. Anyway, I think that we can go through our lives and we can strive to be good Christians. I mean, I think we can strive to meet the requirements and meet the standards of our faith. But then I think there's those few Christians that strive to be better Christians. They want to be.
He's playing Russia. He's over here on the map, and he was pawing at Russia. I think that's where he wants us to go next.
He loves to travel. But anyway, we can try to be better Christians. But, you know, you've got those select few that try to be the best Christian that they can possibly be. And to do that, not only do you have to go the extra mile, you've got to go above and beyond. And that entails a lot of different things as Christians. What all does that entail, Keith?
If you were to
go by the requirements, each requirement?
You know what? I really don't want to go there. I don't want to be the one sitting here telling someone else what they need to do in their Christian life, because... Okay. The bottom line is that there are a lot of I don't want to go there, and then I'm going to go here.
You don't want to go there, but I'm going to go here.
You see the cat?
She called it Africa that time. Can you go to Africa? Where is she going now?
Mongolia.
Wow. Interesting cat.
So anyway, here's what I was going to say. There are a lot of Christians who want to know where that curve cutoff is going to be so that they can shoot for a 62.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
I'm just going to go out and say that, you know, because it's
there
true.
Are.
There are a lot of Christians that they are shooting for a C. And if they can get... If they can get that 69.99 and, you know, count on Jesus rounding it up, then that's all that they're going to give. And, you know, as we are talking about this good, better, best thing, which actually wasn't the topic that we maybe we'll actually get to the topic that I presented, but maybe not, you know. We have to ask ourselves, what am I shooting for? And I will go ahead and say this. There are very, very few, and you pretty much said this a moment ago, but there are very, very few who day in, day out, all the time are shooting for an A+.
There are.
That's my opinion.
Select few.
That's my opinion. That's all that is.
It's my opinion too.
When we and we take the rubric that your instructor gave, you know, of meeting the minimum requirements and going the extra mile and then going above and beyond, you know. So anyway, here would be my suggestion, and then maybe we can get to the topic that you know we actually wanted to talk about. But you know,
I got you sidetracked. I'm sorry.
You aren't going to, and this is a general statement, but you are not going to go above and beyond on everything all at once.
That's a good statement. That's an attainable statement too. It makes it more realistic.
If you look at your life as a Christian and you, I'm tired of mediocrity. I'm tired of shooting for average or that you know that 69.9. And I want to do better. And if you try to go the extra mile, or especially if you try to go above and beyond in every aspect of your Christianity all at once, you're in for a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, and you know, we say set goals an awful lot, or I do anyway, but you know,
I set goals too. I think it's good to be goal oriented.
Pick an aspect of your Christianity and say, you know what? I'm going to go above and beyond in this aspect. Make that a habit in your life, and then pick another aspect and build on those things.
It's just like everything else. It takes time, and I'm really bad, and you know this. I'm really bad for going gung-ho. I go 150% into everything. Like everything that I do, if I think of an idea and I decide to do it, I'm going in 150%. I'm all gung ho for it. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. And sometimes I don't even set objectives or goals in my mind of what I want to accomplish by doing it. I just say, hey, that's a good thing I need to do. I need to do it right now, and the goal will come later. But it takes time. And, you know, sometimes I think we get impatient. And when we get impatient, we forget that our faith, it takes time to develop. It's not going to, when we're baptized a year later, we're not going to be at, you know, we're not going to be the most knowledgeable person of scripture in church. We're not going to have the best everything. That's not going to happen. We have to work on each individual aspect, just as you said. And over time, we will develop to the best that we can possibly be. But we have to work at it. You have to work at it. But what was the topic that we were supposed to talk about today, Keith?
Well, the topic was, what happens when you do your best and your best isn't good enough? And even if we go by those standards that we've sort of established of meeting the minimum requirements of going the extra mile and then going above and beyond, even in those times when we successfully go above and beyond, there will be times when our best is not good enough and we go away discouraged. Mm-hmm. And we tend to second guess ourselves. And, you know, we spend a lot of time saying, what could I have done differently? What was it that person actually needed? What could I have said? What could I have done? Because, you know, I don't know. It's been a series of generalizations that I've made today, but you know, we want to have a positive impact on others.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal. That's our desire. We want to have a positive impact on others. We want to be the best example that we can be. We want to lead others to Christ. We want to be able to help to edify and uplift and to build up one another. and we want to be encouragers. We desire those things. Now, there are those, rare individuals that, they really don't care about encouraging others around them.
Yeah.
I got to tell this story real quick. At the academy, one of the teachers in the academy came up to the office earlier this week, and we were just talking about stuff, and the secretary commented that we had not received as much candy as usual over the Christmas holidays, because we would have insurance companies and, this and that, that would right. stop by and bring us candy. And we had had very little this year. And so anyway, this teacher at the academy brought some muffins yesterday and stuck a note on them and said, "Now quit your whining." Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I ate the muffins, and then I went down to the academy and went up to her, and she kind of looked at me. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm here to whine." She's like, I told you not to whine. I said, "But when I whine, you feed me."
Yeah, you give me candy.
Yeah,
I like candy.
You give me muffins. Yeah, you're baking for me. I'm going to whine more.
Yeah.
But anyway, that really didn't have anything to do with what we were talking about. But there are some people, their disposition is just such that they're not going to have an encouraging word to say to you. So there are those individuals, they really don't care about encouraging you. And it's just the way that they are. And, we all know people who are like that. We're expecting something. Do what?
Give me a time check.
We have got, about 10 minutes left.
Okay. Continue. We're expecting something is where you left off.
Give or so. We're inside of 10 minutes, but, we're good. We're good.
Okay.
So, but anyway, what I was saying is that for the most part, we desire to have a positive impact on others.
That's what we want to do.
How far are we willing to go to have that positive impact on others? And let me tell you, and the life of Jesus shows this to be true. It's going to cost you to have a positive impact on others. It is going to cost you. And it's,
sacrifice. It takes a great amount of sacrifice to have that positive impact that we desire on the lives of other people.
It's not going to just happen.
No, it's not. It takes time, just like anything else.
It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to, and you're going to have those times when you are frustrated.
Right.
But don't let those times of frustration deter you from doing good.
When I think about the question, what do I do when my best isn't good enough? And I start to think about my faith, and I start to think about all the things that we do in our lives, and whether we're striving to be the best possible Christian that we can be, or whether we're just striving to, keep our head above water in our faith. I think about that question, and I think this question, is our best ever going to be good enough? When we strive to do our best as Christians, I picture Jesus just saying, "Yeah, you're doing a great job. You're doing your best, but you could still do more. You could still do a whole lot more." And it may be a generalization to make, but I think that best still in the eyes of Jesus, we're doing a good job, and he recognizes the fact that we're doing a good job. But I don't know if our best can ever be good enough in the eyes of Jesus. And when I sit there and I think about that, I think about the people who do just strive to keep their head above water in their faith. They try to just get that 69.9 and hope that Jesus rounds it up to a 70. You know what I mean? They strive, just like you said, they strive to do that every single day of our lives. But it takes a special kind of Christian. It takes a special kind of faith to strive to do our best every single day, to strive to be the best Christian that we can possibly be, and then at the end of the day say, I'm striving to be the best possible Christian that I can be, but I realize that my best, it's never going to be good enough. And I think that's what it takes. And I think that there are seldom few people in this world that have a faith. And I know that's a generalization again, but I think it's, there are seldom few people in this world who can continue to strive to do their best every day of their lives. And then at the end of the day, say, I know my best. It's still not going to be good enough, but I'm still going to do my best that I can possibly do.
Okay. I was saying if you were done.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
That may have been the longest run-on sentence I've heard all week, but, you know.
It's all right. Some points are run-on sentences. That's how it works, grammar Nazi. You're sitting there putting commas in my sentences and periods. He should have paused there. Yeah. I see what you're doing.
Do you have the Grammarly app?
I do. No. I don't have it, but I've heard of it. I've heard of the Grammarly.
Yeah, I had a guy, he actually came up to me Sunday, and he said, you know, I've got that Grammarly app, and when I'm texting you, that's the only time I ever use it. He said, I will not text you without running the sentences through the Grammarly app. And I thought,
You better watch yourself when you're texting me and you've got bad grammar. He'll correct you. He'll let you know that you've got bad grammar.
Yeah. I thought it was fun, but, you know, that's certainly not saying that my grammar is perfect and, but I give it a valiant effort. At least I think it's a valiant effort. But I don't know. You know, that's part of the problem of not having a plan for this episode. I'm not really sure when we're done with the topic. Right.
I'll take that.
Well,
as my closing
okay.
Statement.
Let me
do your closing statement.
I will do my closing statement now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look at the life of Christ and you see all of the times when he went about doing good, as Luke describes, and that good was not appreciated, did he get discouraged from that?
No.
It may be possible that he did get discouraged at times because of that, but it did not deter him. And you are going to get discouraged from time to time. It's just a fact of life. Not trying to discourage you by saying that, but don't let it deter you from doing the best that you can. Yes. And, you know, I want to encourage you because I'm encouraging myself here. You know, let's stop shooting for mediocrity. Let's try to go that extra mile and let's try to go above and beyond and let's try to be consistent in it. And I'm not going to go there right now. We don't have enough time left for me to go there. Right. Let me throw this out quickly because I've got about a minute that I can use to make this point. There are some people who are easier to encourage than others.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the ones who are not quite as easy to encourage slip through the cracks. Those are the ones that you should be trying to go above and beyond for. Not the ones that and the way that it works is some of those people do not return encouragement to you. And so you do not get the satisfaction or the gratification from having encouraged them. And therefore, you become discouraged in your effort to encourage. And that tends to dampen your enthusiasm. Don't let that happen. Go above and beyond for those folks. Okay, so you can check this out on vimeo.com/Keith Albright.
You can watch it instead of just listening to it.
It should be on iTunes probably tomorrow. That would be Friday. Of course, if you're listening to this, it's probably already on iTunes. But, you know, funny how that works, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
why are telling people when to listen to the program. That's kind of foolish on my part, I think, for having said that. But we'll get it on Facebook when we get it uploaded to the website, and then you'll know that it's time to listen to it. Facebook.com/Let's Talk About Christianity. Anything you need to add, Zach? We have 1 minute remaining of usable time.
Let's give a shout out to two people, since you got to give shout outs to one unnamed person and someone else. But anyway, shout out to Barbara Pierre. She's fantastic. She's one of our great listeners. She told us, you know, she constantly tells me, I love you, can't wait to see you. That tells Keith the same thing on Facebook. And Bobby Mead. Let's give a shout out to old Bobby. We haven't mentioned him on the program in a while, and you know, he's kind of feeling
a couple weeks.
Yeah, he's feeling like we don't like him anymore. So we're going to give a shout out to Bobby. He's working at the college, so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be perfect. I taught him perfect time to listen to the program. Listen
absolutely
to your work. Put those headphones in and listen to the podcast. But we love Bobby here. Bobby's a great man. Great man. Great man.
That's all you got, huh? Okay. Well, we want to thank you for listening. By the way, just randomly, this was season 2, episode number 28, episode number 73. All told. So
we're getting up there towards 100, Keith.
We're almost creeping to three quarters of the way to 100. Yes. So
creeping
maybe we'll
there.
Have a 75th episode celebration week after next. I don't know. But
okay.
Thank cool. you for listening. We actually ran over about a minute now. And we'll catch you next week.